Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you from UBC's Vancouver campus, located on and around the unceded ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh people. I'm Seth, this is Album Club, and this is the one and only David Bowie. That is, of course, the one and only David Bowie, with Fame from the album Young Americans. This is Seth chatting to you on Album Club here on CITR 101.9. Well, the first album we're going to talk about is David Bowie's Young Americans. This is going to be our old album for today. We'll have a new one to come, and we'll have a Canadian one to come, as always. We'll spin a couple real plastic vinyl records as well while we're here. It's going to be a good time. Thank you for joining me. What is there to say about Young Americans, and why did I pick this album this week? Well, anyone that knows me knows I am a massive David Bowie fan. I even have a David Bowie related tattoo. It's the name of one of his songs, the opening track to Ziggy, if anyone knows what that is. I've yet to play a David Bowie album on this show. This is episode 5, which is honestly a little bit of a surprise that I haven't played one in the first 4, but I think the first 5 old albums is a reasonable length of time to play some David Bowie. Why Young Americans in particular? Well, as with all things, it's a bit of a roundabout route that brought me here. I was listening to the album Neon and Ghost Signs, which is by Rialto, who are... Oh, God, were they Scottish, Rialto? I want to say they were Scottish. Anyway, they were a sort of, like, synth-poppy band from the 90s? 80s? 90s? Yeah, I'm going to say 90s. And they released a new album for the first time in like probably nearly 30 years. March? It was April. And it was a good album, Neon and Ghost Signs. I very nearly played it for you guys on this show, but I didn't. Other things got in the way, as they do. But it's a good album. And there is a track in there called Cherry that's really nice. And it really reminds me of... and then I couldn't remember whether it was Fame or Fashion. It's got a little like trill in there. You know that like little like trill in Fame? It turned out it's also in Fashion. So I put Fashion on. I listened to Cherry and I was like, this so reminds me of Fame or Fashion. I can't remember which one. And then I listened to Fashion and was like, oh, it's this. And then I thought, well, I'll just listen to Fame to be sure anyway. And I was like, oh, no, wait, it's this as well. It turns out Fame and Fashion are actually very similar songs. But there we go. I thought, well, I've never listened to Young Americans. I've listened to lots of Bowie albums, but I haven't listened to Young Americans. Obviously, I know Fame, which closes the album. Phenomenal track that you all just heard. Obviously, I know the title track, Young Americans, that opens up the album. Also phenomenal. But I didn't know any of the other 6 tracks, so I thought, well, it's about time I gave this album a listen. And it's... it is a really nice album. Bowie himself has said there are aspects of it he's not happy with, but what I think is so cool about this album is it the first time that Bowie really truly stepped away from glam rock. The preceding, was it Diamond Dogs that came before this, I think, started to step away from glam rock a little bit, like there were hints of soul and that sort of thing in there. But this was the first album where it was like, oh, okay, this isn't glam rock anymore. I don't really like the term blue-eyed soul because I think it can be a bit derogatory, or it can certainly be used in a derogatory manner, but this is kind of, you know, the definition of blue-eyed soul, this album. I'm going to play you the track called Fascination, the third track on the album, very shortly. And I think here, more so than anywhere else in this album, you can hear the soul and the R&B. Now, R&B is a very complicated term. What R&B means now is not what R&B meant 30 years ago, and that certainly wasn't what R&B meant 30 years before that. We don't have time to get into the depths of the definition of R&B. I'm sure it's something we'll cover on this show at various other points, but when I was reading kind of reviews and things, like retrospective reviews of this album, I kept seeing the word R&B kind of popping up, and I was listening to the album. The first couple tracks were about 10 minutes in total, and I was like, I obviously hear the soul, but I don't know that I hear the R&B so much. And then we got to Fascination, and I was like, oh, now I understand where the R&B is. It was actually originally a Luther Vandross track, and then Bowie kind of took it. We'll leave it a took it, and built it up himself and turned it into his own song. Luther Vandross, before he got famous, actually provided backing vocals on a lot of this album, and Fascination was originally a track either written by or intended for Luther Vandross, I can't remember which. And you can really hear that in Fascination. It reminds me of like a Stevie song or like a Marvin Gaye song. I think maybe just because it's like the same number of syllables. Superstition. Fascination. Yeah, it's the same number of syllables as Superstition. Maybe it's as simple as that, but it really reminds me of Superstition, the, you know, obviously incredible Stevie Wonder song. But yeah, just generally, you'll hear the like soul and R&B. What I have always loved about Bowie is that like no two songs are quite the same. Like over how many studio albums did he release? Something like 26, 27? And over those 26, 27 studio albums, he kept evolving and there kept being new versions of Bowie. And he just managed to stay relevant in a way that almost no one else did over, you know, 60 odd years. Okay, let's not pretend that the Duran album was ever relevant, but you know, when was his earliest, when was like Ziggy or something, very early kind of 60, oh sorry, very early 70s, yeah, Aladdin Sane 73, Ziggy 72. So he managed to stay relevant for right up until, you know, the mid 2010s. That's that's a long time and a lot of different styles of music. And this is, you know, I've never quite heard that the point in his album discography where he really kind of hard pivoted away from glam rock, which, let's be honest, had kind of died. It died a bit of a death by 75. Glam rock had its moment and it was time to go and do something new. And he recognized that and more than that, was able to go and do something new and create new sounds and try new styles. And even if there are aspects of something like Young Americans that are a little twee, maybe like the second track, Win, All You Have to Do Is Win, like I kind of like it, but I also find it a little bit twee and a little bit kitsch. You know, even if there are those kind of loose criticisms of this album, I think it's the reason I want to play this is because of how pivotal an album it is in the discography as Bowie, as the point where he showed that he wasn't just a glam rock alien. He was an incredible superstar alien of whatever genre you happen to throw at him. And it was cool discovering that for the first time. You know, I think of myself as someone who knows a reasonable amount about David Bowie, and I've listened to a lot of the albums. I own a few of them. And yet I'd never listened to Young Americans, and therefore never quite heard the point where he stopped doing glam rock and started showing he could do other things as well. And I wanted to share that with you guys. So we had Fame, which is probably the rockiest track on the album, honestly. I mean, it's like funk rock, soul rock. But there is still a bit of rock in there. Lots of guitar flailing around, those little trills that I love so much. But I think Fascination, also a really cool song. And much more like maybe the best soul R&B track on the album, I think so. Probably, that's why I'm going to play it for you. So without further ado, let's have some David Bowie, shall we? This is called I'm in the wrong playlist. Where's it gone? Oh god, what have I done? Here it is. All right, this is David Bowie from his 1975 release, Young Americans. This one is called Fascination. We'll be right back.
Kalalalalam is an urban indigenous health and wellness cooperative in Vancouver's downtown east side. Taking a decolonized approach to healthcare, Kalalalalam aims to partner indigenous elders with physicians and allied health professionals to provide culturally informed physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual care to our community members. You can join us in helping to decolonize healthcare and supporting members of the downtown east side by sharing our story or providing single, monthly, or annual donations. Head over to our website, kalalalalam.ca, or Instagram at kilalalelum to learn more or donate.
Well, that was some Bowie. Some beautiful, beautiful David Bowie. Rest in peace. Just an icon and a legend and a man I love very much. Right, we're going to talk Canadian album very shortly. It's Destroyer as a little sneak peek. But what Destroyer? He's had like 14 albums or something crazy like that. So it could be any level of or any era of Destroyer. A bit like Bowie, honestly. In fact, I was reading that a lot of his early albums triggered a lot of Bowie comparisons. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We have some cool things to do before then. It's time to spin up a record. Now, anyone who's listened to the show before will know that I am a great proponent of going into record stores and just buying old records in the cheap bin, in the bargain bin, whatever the particular store happens to call it, that just look interesting, that visually catch my eye. And a lot of them I don't even really get time to listen to at home. And so this is a good opportunity to do so, I think. Oh, I've just discovered there's a little bonus 7-inch in here. So, what I like to do is bring them in and play them here for you guys and for me. Because if you go in and buy a cheap record for not much money, like 10 bucks and under, say, maybe we should name the segment that, then you might have found a cool record that, you know, is a new thing that you've never heard before and actually turns out to be your new favourite band, or leads you on to your new favourite band, or whatever it might be. That's the joy of music, is you can just explore it. But in, you know, the worst case scenario, you've found a cool piece of wall art, you know, something that you think looks visually interesting that you can just stick on the mantelpiece, or, you know, on a shelf, or hang off a bit of string with some clothes pegs or something, and it's just a cool piece of wall art. And do you know what's really nice? What I might start doing at some point, because I've now got to like 30, 40 of these records, and they don't cost much, and, you know, I don't have that much space. You may be surprised to learn that I, as a renter in Vancouver, do not have a lot of space in my bedroom. So they are starting to take up space. What I might start doing is just, like, giving them to people. If people come over and are like, that looks cool, I might just let them have it, because, like, it cost me $5. Anyway, what we're going to do today is find out whether this particular record is interesting or not. So what is it? Well, it's the Joe Ely Band with Live Shots. It was a live album that they recorded in 1980 while supporting The Clash in London. Joe Ely himself is American. He's from Texas, Lubbock, Texas, and sort of makes country music on the whole, from a brief Google. You know, this is not anything I've done before. I've not heard this record before, so it could be rubbish. Why did I like the album cover? Well, it's a beautiful bright pink is the main colour. It's like pink, black and white are the three main colours, and a little bit of like a plum kind of purple. And it's like an image of a guy in a bit of a sharp suit, but a real kind of like slightly abstract, quite sharp lines, quite angular, quite pointy in its kind of style. Very kind of abstract. There's no actual face. There's a pair of sunglasses that kind of give you the impression of a face, but there's no mouth or nose or anything like that. And it's just bright colours and sharp lines and geometric shapes, which is basically my taste in aesthetics and decorations. As I say, this is a live album, as I understand it. It comes with a bonus 7-inch, which I literally just discovered. Maybe I should have played you that 7-inch. It's called Texas Special. But I didn't spot that. So we're going to have the opening track of the album, which is called Fingernails. And we'll find out whether it's a good record or not, shall we? Yeah, Joe Ely from Live Shots in 1980, supporting The Clash. In fact, I also read that he provided backing vocals on Should I Stay or Should I Go? Which is pretty cool. And apparently, this is just from Wikipedia, so take it with a large pinch of salt, but Joe Strummer planned to record with Joe Ely's band, but died before it happened, which is very sad. In fact, I didn't know Joe Strummer died so young, but that's... We're getting distracted now. It's time for our 10 bucks and under. Joe Ely Band with Live Shots. This track is called Fingernails. You tell me, a good record or just a nice piece of wall art?
I'm playing.
That was the Joe Ely Band with Fingernails. It's kind of a weird statement. I keep my fingernails long so they click when I play the piano. I quite like that. I mean, it was kind of what I was expecting, you know, like jingly jangly, country kind of poppy thing. Imagine seeing that live with The Clash. It's also kind of fun to think. One of my favorite things about live albums is that, like, when you hear those cheers, those cheers were genuine people. Like, at the end of the song, that was real people who were enjoying that gig, enjoying a Clash tour 45 years ago. Like, it's such a weird little snippet of time. They didn't, you know, it would never have crossed their minds that they would be forever recorded on this piece of plastic, and now I have just a tiny snippet of their existence. Anyway, I think that was a cool record. Maybe you just thought it was a cool piece of wall art. Maybe you didn't even think it was a cool piece of wall art. Give it a Google. Joe Ely, Live Shots. I think there's a red version, but I've got like a pinky purpley version of the cover. But yeah, really cool. Really enjoyed that. Okay, we're going to get onto some Destroyer very shortly. But before we do, it's time to set up our other bonus little feature, the other record we're going to play this week. There are about 11,000 records in a room, what, as the crow flies, 20 foot from me, 30 foot from me. It's slightly further to walk around the corner through the doors, but it's not far away is the point. It's the CIT archives, and it's full of interesting records that never really get played. So we're going to rectify that. There's actually a big project underway over the summer to kind of reclassify and reorganize the whole archives, which unfortunately I'm not going to be here for. But I'm looking forward to seeing a new organization of the archives. But for now, we're going to keep mining away at it ourselves. But how do we pick a record from those 11,000 that we want to play? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to do it at random. I've got a random number generator here. It's going to give us a number between 1 and 11,000. I think there's only something like 10,920. So if it's a number that's too high and it doesn't exist, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But in the meantime, yeah, let's pick a random number, shall we? And then we'll talk about Destroyer, or I'll talk about Destroyer. You'll listen. And then I'll play you a Destroyer track. And while that's playing, I'll run off and find the record. And then when I come back, we can listen to it. That sounds like a plan to me. God, you wouldn't believe it, but there is a little bit of thought that goes into this show. Okay, what is our random number today? It is 5,639. I feel like the last few we've had have all been sort of within 4,000 to 6,000. Anyway, 5,639 will be our record this week. So I'll go and find that shortly. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about Destroyer. Why am I playing Destroyer? Well, he released an album just a few days after my birthday this year called Dan's Boogie. And I am going to play you that, but that's not why I ended up on Destroyer. I went to see a good friend of mine's girlfriend's show, like theatre show, last week. Stan, who does Horny Music. I forgot the name of the show for a moment then. Horny Music, Thursdays at 11 a.m. I went to see his girlfriend Ellie's play, and it was really good fun. It was just a little kind of scratch piece, but it was really good fun. It was about D&D. Not the point. But I was chatting to the guy who was kind of hosting it. It was kind of like a showcase event. And I was chatting to the guy who was hosting it after the show. Stan and I kind of were just chatting to him. And can't quite remember how we got onto music, but he was like, oh, do you guys listen to Destroyer? And I was like, well, I've heard of Destroyer. I haven't really got around to listening to them. I've subsequently realized that I actually listened to his 2022 album, Labyrinthitis, but I don't really remember. I recognize the album cover, but I don't really remember the album. So I'll have to go back and listen to that again at some point. I was like, yeah, I've heard of Destroyer, but I haven't really listened to them. He was like, oh, okay, we'll go start with Kaput, which is like his middle album. It's like 9th of 14 or something. And he said, if you like the kind of singer-songwritery kind of vibes, then work backwards from Kaput. And if you like the more sort of ambient-y, spacey, synthy kind of vibes, go forward in his discography. And I was like, you know what? That's a really good way to introduce someone to an artist. So I went away and I listened to Kaput, and I quite liked it. Yeah, I did quite like it. And I kind of understood the, like, some of it's a bit more singer-songwritery lyricsy and some of it's a bit more spacey. And I kind of understood what Trevor, the guy who recommended it to me, was getting at there. And I was just going to play You Kaput because I thought it was quite a fun way to start, you know, if anyone else is diving into Destroyer. I'm sure you will know him very well. As a Vancouver artist, I feel like you all should know Destroyer, but maybe you don't. But then this morning, or maybe it was last night, I was like, well, but Dance Boogie did come out this year, and it would be fun to play that if it's good. So I was giving it a listen this morning. And actually, I think it's a really beautiful album. Yeah, we're gonna play something from Dance Boogie. It is a little bit more spacey and a little bit more ambient, being later in his discography. But it still feels like there's a lot of lyrical depth to dive into. Obviously, I listen to a lot of music, a lot of albums, and a lot of them I don't listen to more than two or three times. And it has long been a frustration of mine that there's just not enough time in the world. But I do find that artists like Dylan or Leonard Cohen or Joni Mitchell, who are, you know, lyrically very dense and really reward you for the time you spend picking apart those lyrics and exploring them. I don't often get time to do. Like, I've not really truly ever got into Bob Dylan, for example, because I haven't had the time to dedicate to really embedding myself in his music, which I think you have to do for artists like that. And so I think Dan's Boogie is a record that will really reward you for diving into that. I think, kind of contradictory to that, a lot of the lyrics are quite, like, abstract and as much there for the sounds they make as the sense that they make. But I do think that, nonetheless, that rewards you for contemplating the lyrics or contemplating the sounds and the structures that those lyrics create, because they are chosen, even if they're not chosen for their sense, they're still chosen for a very specific reason. And I think it, you know, will reward time spent exploring that. I also really like the name Dan's Boogie. I think that's a great name for a record. It might be becoming clear over the course of this show that, not this show, this episode in particular, but the show as a whole, that if you name a song or an album anything to do with dancing, I will probably go listen to it. Like, Fast, what was it called? The Snapped Ankles album. Hard Times, Furious Dancing. I think I played a couple of weeks ago. Or, like, the Rialto album that, actually, and shout out to Sophie, who, host of Friday Night Fever, who had texted me a little earlier to say that Rialto are definitely not Scottish. And she's quite right, they are not Scottish at all. But the main reason I listened to that album is because the first track is called No One Leaves This Discotheque Alive. And it's actually a great tune. You name any song or any album, anything to do with dancing, it will probably catch me. You either make the album art cool or make it about dancing. And that's basically my taste in music, my taste in exploring music. Yeah, so we're going to have something from Dance Boogie. I'm going to play you, it was actually one of the singles, I think, Cataract Time. I'm just going to play you the one song from this album because it is quite long. It's 8 minutes long. But I think it is beautiful. I think it really leans into the space that Dan Behar? Don't know. Has learned to take up and learned to explore in. I think any kind of track of this length will naturally allow you space to explore, but he does actually explore, and it really does make for a very, very beautiful piece of music. It also, rather pleasingly, leans quite heavily on the sax, and that was something that I found throughout Kaput in particular. There's a lot of saxophone on Kaput, and in fact, the saxophonist Joseph Shabberson, was part of the band for Kaput and then a couple more albums after that, and then kind of stepped away and is back for this album. So it's quite nice having although I've listened to three Destroyer albums, I only really remember two of them, but it's quite nice the closing of the circle between the two of them in my mind. As I say, he's released something like 14 albums, so there's plenty more for me to get back to exploring, but of the ones I have heard, I think I've picked out quite nicely. So yeah, I think it's time to have Cataract Time, which is a weird sentence to say, but yeah, this is Destroyer, the Vancouver native, from his 2025 album, which came out March 28th, just a few days after my birthday this year. It's called Dan's Boogie, and this song is called Cataract Time.
Sick of winning games. Been out on the road too long. Carve yourself out of illusion. You take the long way round a setting sun. Sideways, as if to say, what happened? The rich man looks at you sideways to say, what happened to you, boy? You on cataract time? Tired of pretending, you're tired of playing pretend. This time it's real. I wear see-through too much and take strolls downtown. Thinking it's a garden of shame. You take the night train and live to see another day. Another day. Another day. Another day.
Whoa, hold on. Where are you taking all those cacti?
I need to put them near the radio.
How come?
They love to hear Everly's nature-based music on Dead Succulent Haunt every Thursday at 5 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Oh, Dead Succulent Haunt? Where your plants can grow and you can mourn those you've lost?
Come on, plants, let's grow.
Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. And we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Seth, this is Album Club. We've been listening to a little bit of Destroyer. Before that, we had a bit of Bowie. We had some Joe Ely with a record. I've been into the archives to find us our randomly picked record. We do have a Scottish band this time around. Sophie will be glad to hear, as a Scot, that we do have a Scottish band. It's Scars, or The Scars, as they were originally, and then Scars after that, without the. And the album is called Author, Author, with a little exclamation mark after each author. And it came out in 1981. It's post-punk, and that's about all the information I've got. So we're just going to dive into it. We're going to have the opening track to the album, because I haven't seen anything that makes me think we should in particularly listen to another track. So, we're going to have the opening track. It's called Leave Me in Autumn. It's by the Scottish post-punk band Scars on the album Author, Author from 1981. I don't know. Should we just dive in? I think so. What do we think?
Leave me in the autumn when the leaves fall from the trees and the wind can whisper.
Well, there we go. That was Scars with Leave Me in Autumn from their album Author. That was quite fun. I mean, it was definitely post-punk. It was definitely Scottish. It was exactly what it said on the tin. And I don't mind that. Quite happy with it. Quite enjoyed it. Well, we've got one album left to talk about here on the show. It'll be a brief chat because I better get off there soon. It's by an artist called Surgeon, who's an English techno artist is the simple term. This is his 10th album. It's called Shell Wave. And as always, I listened to this album because it had a cool piece of album art. It came out very, very recently. It came out at the beginning of May, May 2nd. So just about 3 weeks ago. And it just had a cool album art. And I was like, yeah, I'll give that a listen. And it's some techno. And I was like, yeah, I'm slowly getting into my techno. I'm getting into my dance music in general. I'm a big fan of an Egyptian artist called Three Phase. And this reminds me a lot of him. I also think the track names are quite fun. Things like Serpent Void and Infinite Eye and Triple Threat. I just think they're fun. Like, a bit silly. Maybe I hope not taking themselves too seriously, but like I think they're fun track names and a cool piece of album art. And what else could you want? And I, as I say, I'm really getting into my techno in the last couple 3 years. So yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I'm gonna play a track called Soulfire. I just think yeah, it's a really nice album. If you want to like slowly get into techno, this is probably as good a place to start as any. Soulfire, I think, is one of the dancier tracks. It's got kind of like a slightly industrial kind of like weight to it. I think the music on the whole is kind of wonky in a way. Yeah, I think that's a word that I think will make sense when you hear it. But yeah, it's a nice album. A lot of it's quite cool. You can throw it on shuffle, you can throw it on normally. Yeah, Shell Wave by Surgeon. So yeah, that's the last album we're going to have. We're going to have a track called Soulfire, which is the second track on the album. So I'll play that for you in a second. But for now, thank you so much for listening, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed some of these albums. Go listen to some Bowie. Go listen to some Surgeon. Go listen to Scars, if you want. Whatever you like, just go explore music. That's the joy of it. Yeah, the Lethal Refresh guys will be here shortly, I'm sure, to play some tunes for you. In the meantime, you've been listening to Album Club here on CITR 101.9 FM. Here to play you out, this is Surgeon with Soulfire.